committee meeting of today. Can Mascole fly to the agenda so that I can see it properly?
Oh, okay, Chair. Let me quickly do that, Chair.
Okay, but in the meantime, I will do other procedures that we should embark upon in a meeting. I understand there are no apologies recorded for this meeting, except to say, Minister Mthembu has attended a cabinet meeting, but the deputy minister is available for this meeting, but she has to leave earlier because there are other commitments that she has to attend to. Those are the two things that have been brought to my attention. Is there anything I'm leaving out, Mascole?
No, there's nothing, Chair. That is all. There's no apologies from the members' side, Chair. Okay. Only those two apologies, Chair.
Okay.
Or I think also Deputy Minister Siweya will actually leave the meeting earlier.
I have mentioned that.
Yes, okay, Chair. All
right. I have mentioned that already.
All right, Chair.
Today's meeting is to come in.
Yes, Chair, it's James Weyer. Just still on apologies. Also to just apologize for the DG Robert Nkuna. He's also with the minister in the portfolio committee. He was supposed to join us, but he's with the minister. We apologize that you did not receive a formal apology in that regard.
Okay, DM, you are muted, DM.
I'm not, am I muted?
Yeah, now I can hear you now.
Okay, I apologize. I was saying, I apologize, even the DG Robert Nkuna, he was supposed to form part of our meeting. He is with the minister in the portfolio committee. We apologize for that. We apologize that you did not receive a written apology.
Okay.
Yes. But apology, I've got officials from the department, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I will allow you, therefore, DM, to make an opening remark in introducing the subject matter of today's meeting.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to yourselves and members of the Portfolio Committee. We are happy to be here. It's always exciting when we come and update just the Portfolio Committee and to give you reports in relation to what is it that we are doing. With me, I've got a team from DPME who are going to make the presentation. Martins is going to lead the delegation, and after that we're going to interact with your questions and the report which you'll seek thereof. The report one is going to just speak about what is it that we're doing at DPME. We're also going to give you an update in relation to Pluma, and how far are we in relation to moving the responsibility from one department to another and ensuring that we implement. I'm going to request that he venture into the presentation so that we can interact with it. Mr. Lenze Martins, please take the portfolio committee through. Thank you.
Thank you, DM.
Thank you. I'm just turning on my video quickly. Should I load the presentation from my side, or is it being loaded on that side?
Through you, Chair. I think you can load it on your side. Thank you.
Okay, just give me a second. I'm just checking, is that visible?
Yes, it's clearly visible. It's visible.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, DM. Thank you, Chair. And good morning to the honorable members. So as the DM mentioned, my name is Lindsay Martin. I'm currently the acting DDG for planning coordination in DPME. So our presentation will touch on all the three issues that were requested by the committee. So just to give you an overview of what we'll be discussing, briefly touch on the DPME mandate, talk about the integrated planning system so you get a sense of how all these components fit together, talk about the priorities in terms of the MTSF, because a lot of the supporting stuff that we're talking about is linked to the MTSF. I will then give you a highlight in terms of the budget priorities framework, the impact on that as part of the MTSF review, and then give you an update on the Integrated Planning Bill and the National Spatial Development Framework. So firstly, as the committee is aware, DPME is responsible for national planning, monitoring and evaluation in support of the NDP and the MTSF. So most importantly, we use the MTSF as the implementation plan for the NDP in this five-year term of government. So the MTSF stretches until 2024. The NDP remains the long-term plan of government, and the NPC Secretariat, which resides within DPME, then supports that. So I've already mentioned the MTSF plan is the five-year plan of the NDP. It also includes the electoral mandate of the ruling party and the priorities that they've escalated. One of the functions that we also do is then monitor implementation of both those plans, which is the long-term plan and the medium-term plan. And then we also conduct programmatic evaluations on those plans. I thought it's useful just to flag, it's a bit of a busy diagram, but it's quite important as to how the components fit together. So there on the top in the middle, we have the National Development Plan, which has been informed by our international and regional commitments, as well as our constitutional imperatives. We then have developed the MTSF, which was done in 2019, based on the goals of the NDP, as well as the ruling party manifesto. Most importantly, if you see there just below the NDP, is that the budget prioritization framework then essentially looks at what are the priorities emanating out of the MTSF and what does that mean in terms of the next funding cycle. So this, in this case, it will be 2021. Once all of that is concluded, there's then an alignment process between strategic plans and annual performance plans to make sure that those priorities are covered in terms of the departmental operations of departments. Most importantly, is to note that the APPs and strat plans currently only cover national government and provincial government. We then work with the Department of Cooperative Governance in relation to what we call the integrated development plans for local government to ensure that alignment. So the MTSF is comprised of what we call seven apex priorities. I'm sure the committee is aware of these. It's a capable ethical developmental state, economic transformation and job creation, education, skills and health, consolidating the social wage, spatial integration, human settlements and local government, social cohesion and safer communities, and then lastly, a better Africa and a world. There's also a cross-cutting focus across all those seven priorities on women, youth, and people with disabilities, where there's particular interventions. Just at the bottom there, those overarching goals of the NDP to eradicate poverty, unemployment, and inequality is what drives the MTSF for this five-year term. And then the interventions in the seven apex priorities linked to those. We thought it's also useful just to give you a context as to how the plans, this is the NDP and the MTSF, interface with the budget. So if you start just on the right-hand side there, we have those three broad pillars of the NDP, which we can then link to the seven apex priorities, which we have there. Most importantly, in the budget process, so the way the medium-term expenditure committee works is that they have what they call function group discussions. Those function groups are essentially budget function groups, which are on the far left-hand side, which is economic development, community development, learning and culture, health, social development, peace and security, and general public services. You can then link seven, essentially the apex priorities to those discussions. So what the budget prioritization framework seeks to do is to present the important interventions for each of those priorities in the function groups, as you will see within the presentation, so that these can easily be discussed as part of the budget process and then escalated through the medium-term expenditure committee, and then the minister's committee on the budget, and ultimately to cabinet. So the budget prioritization framework, as was noted, is forward-looking. So we looking to the 2021 implementation cycle. And as mentioned, we essentially then flag what are the interventions being planned in the MTSF. This is the current MTSF for the upcoming cycle, or where has work started and where that work continues into the next cycle. And then we've linked those to the relevant function group discussions. So the first one is the function group on general public services. And this is largely linked to priority one, which is an ethical, capable, and developmental state. So firstly, modernization of the public service, including SOEs, is quite key. Strengthening governance systems around SOEs. So some work has already started there. For example, the Presidential Council on SOEs has been established, but most of the work continues into next year. Implementation on the integrated financial management system. This is linked to the e-government strategy. Implementation of the district development model becomes quite key to improve integrated planning, but also improve delivery. And then lastly, implementation of an integrated monitoring and evaluation system. And that intervention is essentially being driven by DPME. The next function group is then what we call economic development. And this one most closely links to priority two, which is economic transformation and job creation. So reindustrialization through the sector master plans is a big component also of the economic recovery plan. And there's currently 14 master plans that are being worked on. Support to small and medium enterprises is also quite important. And we've seen the impact that COVID-19 has had has disproportionately disadvantaged small businesses. So there's a need to be able to support these moving forward. Infrastructure investment, especially around renewable energy, is currently a key intervention in the MTSF. And that then also continues based on the announcements that the president has made. And then lastly, reducing the cost of doing business and improving competitiveness. This becomes quite key in terms of how do we then support export growth within the economy to support GDP growth. Community development is then the next function group. There we then discuss issues around accelerated land reform, spatial transformation and well-located housing, rehabilitation of ecological infrastructure and a just transition. So this is how do we deal with the effects of climate change and ensure that those that are worst affected in terms of those sectors are able to be supported as part of the transition to renewable mechanisms. Ensure agrarian transformation and food security. So this is primarily linked to the rural development strategy to support agriculture and ensure food security. And then lastly, improving basic service delivery again, using the mechanism of the DDM. So that's quite vital to ensure that local governments are able to deliver on those services. So the next slide then looks at the remaining function groups. Firstly, learning and culture. So the first aspect there is about stabilizing and improving the conceptual planning for what we call pre-grade one, which is essentially ECD, early childhood development. And this is also to complement the work being done on the function shift between the Department of Social Development and the Department of Basic Education. Next, it's about supporting a digitized world in terms of our curriculum. So we've seen, again, the impact of COVID-19, which has had a disproportionate impact on those schools that don't have access to technologies or not connected to internet systems. Next is then to invest in education infrastructure and reduce basic service backlogs. So this is issues around water, sanitation, inappropriate structures. And then lastly, expand access and quality to the TVET system. So the white paper on higher education essentially says that the TVET space in terms of tertiary education will be the main driver for education and skills development. Approximately 60% of the new enrollment should be through the TVET system. Then next, health and social development. So of all the sectors that have been impacted by COVID-19, health is probably the most affected. So there's a need to expedite the NHI bill. What we've also seen because of COVID, the cooperation between the public and private health systems is critical to be able to deal with future pandemics. The components then that support that process is about getting in place the right infrastructure and people. So there's the National Quality Health Improvement Plan, which was adopted by the Health Summit. And then on the human side is to deal with the human resource strategy to make sure we get the right nurses and doctors to support that system. There's also then been a significant impact, especially on provincial health budgets around medical litigation. This has been an ongoing issue. Some provinces have put in mechanisms to reduce this, but more needs to be done to take this forward. And then lastly, developing a standardized social welfare package. So this is about consolidating all the work that we've learned within the social protection space, as looking at the existing grants, the mechanisms that are on the top-up grants and the employment relief grants. So some of the lessons we've learned there is about the integration of systems, about validating beneficiaries, etc. So this needs to be part of a reform that's taken forward to consolidate social welfare. Then the last function group is peace and security. So that's then supports priority 6, which is around social cohesion and safer communities. So firstly is to ensure that there's visible policing and effective training to improve safety in communities. A particular focus on interventions to reduce domestic violence, gender-based violence, and crimes against children. Next, it's about enhancing the capacity of the investigative directorate, crime intelligence and prosecutions. And this is also then to deal with issues around corruption which emanate out of, for example, the Zondo Commission. Next is then about essentially protecting our economic sovereignty by coordinating the country's borders. And this is also because the Border Management Agency has now been operationalized, as to deal with issues around illegal migration, as well as the illicit economy, which is largely cross-border issues. And then lastly, to operationalize the Integrated Cybersecurity Center, what we've seen again, because of the impact of COVID-19, are lots of services across the economy have now moved online. There's then been an increase in cybersecurity issues. So South Africa really needs to enhance its cybersecurity protection measures. So those then cover all the the priorities in the budget priorities framework. These were presented at the medium-term expenditure committee through which DPME participates and the relevant function groups. The committee then makes the recommendations to the Ministers Committee and the budget, but Cabinet then will have the final say on what gets put into the budget. So we will know the progress on these once the minister has tabled the medium-term budget policy statement, which will be happening this afternoon. So as I said, those essentially have focused on what is currently within the MTSF. What we do know is that COVID-19 has impacted on some interventions in the MTSF. So when we did an assessment of the, for example, we saw that about 60% of planned targets at national were able to be achieved and 40% at provincial level. What we've also then done is issued practice notes to departments around the retabling of strat plans and APPs, which happened after the supplementary budget, and essentially to allow them to reschedule in line with the budget prioritization, their interventions in their APPs. Our biggest risk moving forward is possibly the impact of our fiscal position, which has deteriorated significantly and will require further reprioritization over the MTEF. So we want to draw on those lessons and say then, how do you take this forward as part of a revision process of the MTSF itself, so that we can align to support the recovery phase? So we have shared some of this information with the committee in the past, around the revision of the MTSF. So this process is currently active within DPME. So there's a number of components that the revised MTSF needs to account for. The NDP review report, which has been concluded, the 4IR implementation plan, the district development model, as has been mentioned, lessons from COVID-19, and most importantly, the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, which the president has also presented to Parliament last week. And then lastly, the revised fiscal framework, as has mentioned, will essentially establish what is the new envelope of funding that we have available for departments and how do you then reprioritize your budgets. So that will come through, as mentioned, through the MTBPS via the Minister of Finance. So the logic is once we've updated all of this, we're currently mapping these interventions, is then to put them within the results-based framework of the MTSF and then resubmit that for Cabinet approval by January within this financial year. And then that will form the basis for APPs in the next calendar year as well. So all of those issues have essentially dealt with how are we improving the planning landscape and aligning that as part of a reprioritization and recovery phase for the country. The next sections then just give an update on the integrated planning bill as well as then the NSTF. So from the side of the bill, the draft bill process was initially stalled because of the impact of COVID-19, and that's largely because of the reprioritization of budgets. So as part of the supplementary budget process, DPME, for example, had to cut 100 million within its current baseline. So what we've done to be able to support that process, we've gained legal assistance via the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And this is towards then the legal review process and the updating of the bill. To complement that, we then have also established an interdepartmental technical committee. This is because there are various pieces of legislation within other national departments that deal with aspects of planning. So, for example, the Department of Cooperative Governance not only coordinates the district development model, but also has the Intergovernmental Framework Relations Act. The Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development currently coordinates the Spatial Planning and Use Management Act, through which the NSDF is governed. And then we also have National Treasury, Department of Human Settlements, and the South African Local Government Association. Obviously, from a SALGA perspective, that's to make sure that we hear the voices of municipalities as part of the planning process. So the technical committee will essentially engage with the build process and to make sure that key functions that reside in other departments are then aligned as part of that process. And we will then produce an analysis report for incorporation in the bill itself. Once the bill is updated, it will then follow a normal process through which all other bills go, which is the SAAS process, the socioeconomic impact assessment, and then submission to the Office of the State Law Advisor. Post those processes, it's then obviously going to cabinet submission, and then the bill will be back, will be submitted to Parliament in terms of the public participation process in the latter part of the next financial year. So then this section looks at the National Spatial Development Framework and to give an update on that process. So firstly, to note that the responsibility for the NSDF still resides with the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development as they currently manage SPLUMA, the Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act. DPME has, however, engaged with the department around the NSDF and has also invited the department to share its insights at our departmental strategic planning session, which was the week of the 20th. Based on that discussion and insights, our DG has then requested a trilateral engagement with the respective DGs of agriculture, land reform, and the DG of cooperative governance. So this is to resolve issues between the integrated planning bill, as mentioned, the issues around SPLUMA, but also the issues in terms of the DDM, so that we have get a more coherent planning system. And then to resolve issues which have been outstanding around the assignment of functions. And that is essentially then planned for next week. So while that process continues, DPME still collaborates with the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development to facilitate the implementation of the NSDF. So for example, just to give you a sense of the collaboration between the departments, DPME had already assisted and worked with the department around the NSDF launch, which was via the NSDF Indaba, which was last year. An important aspect to note is that the NSDF has not yet been submitted to Cabinet. When we engaged with the department, they indicated there were issues around procurement due to the impact of COVID-19 and budget issues, which had impacted on the development of the NSDF implementation charters. Nevertheless, we then will continue to work with the department to take the NSDF implementation forward. A key milestone is the NSDF implementation colloquium, which is planned for March next year, where we will collaborate with the department. Then finally, also to note, so priority 5 in the MTSF, the Medium-Term Strategic Framework, deals with spatial integration, human settlements, and local government. So we're also then pulling the work on priority 5 on the MTSF into the colloquium discussions, again, to ensure that there's alignment between the new interventions in the MTSF and the work that's being done on the NSDF implementation. I think that's the end of the presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The presentation is now open for discussion by the committee. Can you remove now your presentation on the screen? Yeah, that's it.
Chair.
Honorable Ntuli.
Chair, thank you. Chair. We welcome the presentation from the department.
You are muted, Honorable Ntuli. Honorable Ntuli, you are muted now.
Chairperson, sorry, I'm struggling. Sorry, Chair. I'm struggling.
Okay.
Thank you. Chair, I welcome the presentation from the department. But when one was listening, this integrated planning is straightforward. And what impressed more is that it is touching it is the stretch. It's a stretch, and it's touching all the spheres of government. I hope this will reduce people working in silos, because we've got one straightforward planning that will be monitored by DPME. And also, Chairperson, we note the disruptions of COVID-19 in terms of budget cuts. Hoping that moving forward, because the COVID-19 is a new normal, moving forward, and with a particular with the MTS TFM, we are going to be able to fulfill the mandate as per the department. And lastly, Chair, I think one is happy to hear that the bill is in pipeline. We know that the bill will go like a snake twisting here and there, but we hope that the task of the department is to sit behind it and drive it for it to touch the ground. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I have noted Honorable Soma and thereafter Honorable Kibi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning, colleagues. Let me echo Honorable Ntuli's statements to appreciate the progress report thus far in terms of the framework, as it were. But also it does that sooner we will get monitoring system tools that will be able also from our side as the committee to monitor other government departments and spheres of government, their performance, as it were, in respect of predetermined objectives and also the good corporate governance and financial management. Because I'm saying that, Chair, I must also stress that as this committee, personally, I would love us to ensure that before our end of term, there are lesser departments that go before SCOPA. But that work squarely lies upon DPME to be more faster, adaptable, to adapt to situation with speed while balancing its responsibilities as other responsibilities that are under their leadership or their department. Why I'm saying that, Chair, in view of COVID-19, it seems like from where I'm seated, we're still going to be with it for some time. That necessitates then that the DPME, as it were, must be very alert in those changes without any delay. I'm picking that, I'm linking that point with what Honorable Ntuli have said in terms of a snail pace, as it were, and a very windy road in terms of a finalization of the bills or white paper until the parliament and the president are sent to be an act. My question then, Chair, is that how would it be, how does the department intend to ensure that any limitations that might slow the process in relation to say what are the contradicting or cross of minds of the direct affected stakeholders in respect of SPLOMA? In my province, in particular, in my municipality where I'm coming from, when one does an oversight, you find that the explanation in terms of housing development, it's always sponsored to SPLOMA. And which means then the SPLOMA in terms of affected departments that needs to finalize that should be fast-tracked, because then it hinders the service delivery, which our people are yearning for. The second one, Chair, what then are both DPME, COGTA, and Agri, Rural Development, and Land Affairs departments going to do without undermining the public and stakeholder consultation in the bill? I will call it a bill, to ensure that you, while you respect COVID-19, but also you don't take 20 years to finalize only one bill. Noting that this bill or this framework, both the integrated framework and also the national spatial planning framework, is the legacy activities that one was hoping that the sixth administration will try with speed for those bills and the framework to see themselves before parliament so that we can engage with them and consult with the stakeholders, as it were, through the public hearings, Chair. In short, Chair, I'm saying what systems are in place in terms of short-circuiting the process without undermining other legal requirements so that we unblock and speed up the service delivery, because it does hinder the service delivery. And also, what are the tools and the systems that, while then the monitoring system is still pending, what other systems as a gap measure that are in place for the department to ensure that it monitors and advise other departments, as it were? Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Kiwi. After that, I have seen Honorable Komani and then Honorable Tsebekulu in that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, colleagues, and good morning to everybody. Honorable Chair, let me also join the members in welcoming the presentation and also appreciating it. Mine is on the bill. There are lessons that have been learned, Honorable Chair, through the district development model. Will those lessons be incorporated in the drafting of the bill? And also, Honorable Chair, there is an assessment of the APPs on slide 9, that performance of the national departments is at 60% and provinces are at 40% in terms of the set targets. On which quarters of 2020-21 financial year is the percentage based on? And the other one is departments have to redouble their efforts to achieve targets in the remaining quarters. What has been done to assist departments to achieve the targets? We really appreciate the presentation, Chair, as I've already said, and I thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Komman.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation from the department. And also, I want to put more emphasis on what was echoed by the latter speaker to say, in achieving the set goals, what is the systems that have been put in place by the department to ensure that the achievement is fast-tracked? And Chair, I would also want to echo the same sentiment as Honorable Lesomo in terms of the consultation, in terms of the housing, or of housing. Because when we do our oversights, we come across the challenge that little, if not less, consultation has been made to the communities. Also taking into cognizance that the pandemic might be of a challenge, but you cannot rule out the fact that we are going to live with the pandemic for some time, but then we need to go with speed, and also going with speed does not have to compromise the consultation, because the consultation, if it is not properly done, it impacts very bad, particularly in the Northwest, the Rustenburg local municipality. The housing, the consultation was not properly done. Hence, the projects are deemed to not to be saving the community at the expected pace. And that would as well give us challenges, Chair. And Chair, in terms of peace and security, one would ask as to what interventions have been put in place to fight the GBV. And the capacity that has been given, particularly to the peace and security department, because we see less of the capacity when the GBV cases are being reported. We find that our department, or maybe the subs on its own, has got less capacity. Not necessarily saying that a capacity in terms of resources or whatever, but as to how they should engage on that in terms of resolving. And Chair, again, one would as well, still on peace and security, ask the interventions made by the department in terms of assisting the safer communities through visible policing, because we can speak visible policing, but what is it that is expected? What is it that we want to achieve? We cannot just say we have got visible policing. We does not have the yardstick to measure how it is being implemented, and to also score ourselves to say, given this visible policing, this is what we are expecting, and this is what the results that we are having in terms of that, because we still find that like in SAPS, for example, we have got a system that would speak to the call out and the reaction time, but then the reaction time does not speak to how people are being assisted. So it is in a way a wasteful expenditure to say, yes, we are doing visible policing, but then we are not reporting on what is What is it that is expected of that visible policing? Equally, what is it that you are doing for visible policing? I think we need to fight crime, but we still find that there is visible policing. However, the crime does not deteriorate. As the effect, then I don't see how that is assisting us. So I'm just asking the department as to what measures or what yardsticks are they using to measure that the visible policing is really assisting. Thank you very much for now.
Thank you, Honorable Tsebe Khulu. Honorable Tsebe Khulu. Honorable Tsebe Khulu, it's your turn.
Honorable Chair, if I may suggest that probably the department may respond to our questions, then he can come back when it's
reconnected. Oh, he can come back later, yeah.
Yes.
No,
thank you.
That's all right, Honorable Song. Can the department respond to question raised so far?
Thank you. I don't know, does the deputy minister want to come in first or should I just proceed?
No, proceed, it's okay. Proceed.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the honorable members for the questions. So there were a variety of questions linked to the Integrated Planning Bill and how we support that process moving forward. So as was mentioned, I mean, we did have some, I suppose, hiccups in the process because of budget issues, but we are taking that process forward then through the assistance of DTIC. I think one of the key mechanisms that will facilitate that and will then also deal with the issues that were raised about how do we align this with other sectors is our interdepartmental task team. What I'm going to do is just ask Mr. Zunaid Khan, who is the chief director for spatial planning, who will essentially be managing that committee, just to give the committee some insights as to the role that the committee will play. Zunaid, are you available?
Yes, excuse me. Thank you, Lindsay. I am available. I'm not sure if my camera has come on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. Good morning, Chair, to the DM and to the honourable members. Thank you very much. In terms of what was asked and around those questions around the committee, it is
one. Can you switch on your video?
Let me try for a second. Is that better?
Yeah.
Can you see me now?
That's it. That's it.
Thank you very much, Chair. I had the wrong camera on. In terms of what was asked, the transversal technical committee, that was the importance behind it and the urgency, is to have those very important departments that have various pieces of legislation under their jurisdiction to be part of the process, to provide their technical inputs into the updating and crafting of the bill. It was one of the flaws in the original bill that certain pieces of legislation were omitted. And what we've decided to do as a department is to run some of these processes concurrently. So as much as we'd like to have them sequenced, we've noted that the timing would take too long to have it sequenced. It would be more or less a 3 to 4 year project. But in order to make it an 18-month project, we've decided to run them concurrently, as I indicated. Letters have been sent out to those departments already to have two representatives, a member and an alternate, to ensure that the process flows seamlessly and there isn't any delays. We've noted that COVID may play an impact, but we've understood in terms of the discussion and getting access to information, for this particular process, it should have minimal impact on our ability to actually craft and provide those technical inputs. in terms of the committee and having it aligned to that legislation. This is done in conjunction with the legislative review from the DTIC to ensure that there's constitutional muster of the bill, as well as ensure that those Concord decisions that impact the various spheres of government are also factored into the bill, so there isn't any contradictions or any contestations around between the different spheres and the various pieces of legislation. In terms of what we're going to do to mitigate against both COVID and in terms of a process, I think as the acting DDG, Mr. Martin, has indicated, the department has also ensured that there is a project champion and a project team that's dedicated to the bill. There is a defined project plan and methodology, and there is a timeline that's been mapped out, as well as an expectation. And there has been considerable buy-in and support internally in DPME and discussions with both the NPC, the NPC Secretariat, as well as our other esteemed colleagues to ensure that there's a consolidated position in DPME. The range of expertise are actually providing their input, both at a technical level as well as a conceptual level, into the bill so that we can expedite it. We've also noted that there's a process to boost capacity with the procurement of an external service provider to ensure that there is an extensive stakeholder engagement process so that we ensure the gaps of the previous iteration are met and that those key provinces, local government, as well as departments are not left out. We've seen this at a very late stage, so that when it arrives at Parliament, it's gone through an extensive process and is as comprehensive as it can be. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Tsebekulu, can you come in? I see that you are back now. You were kicked out of the system.
Chairperson, hello. Hello, Chair.
I can hear you, Honorable Tsebekulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. The challenge of the technology is fighting me in the rural areas here. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Greetings to you and all the members of the committee and the team from the department. Chairperson, in fact, I wanted just to first agree that we have experienced or we've been exposed to this COVID-19 challenge as a country, as well as all other countries, actually, I must say. But one thing I want to just to point out, Chairperson, you know, some of in the presentation, some of the things should have been done, or when COVID arrived, it would have fined the department dealing with some of the issues. Case in point, the economic development. To this one, when you look at the competitiveness of the competitors in business, Chairperson, I took a point of the new entrance in commercial farming, the African farmers who are entering a commercial farming business. With the challenge of collateral required by financiers when they go there to borrow money, I think the department should have maybe long intervened or assisted or given a way to go in order for them to access finances so that they could maybe run their farms properly. Then what is the department doing then to assist in that regard? Secondly, on the peace and security, Chairperson, the presenter, Mr. Martin, pointed out the issue of cross-border issues. This is a very long problem or challenge that South Africa has been facing. Mine then on this one, Chairperson, will be, is there any monitoring instrument to see whether the objectives of border control are achieved and action plan in place to beef up the control? Because, Chairperson, time and again, we are exposed, more especially the provinces that are bordering the other states like Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, and others. You know, specifically in Mozambican issue, we people of Northern KZN, the car hijackings, cars being taken across the border and being sold over there, the role of our members of the SNDF, as well as the SAPS on those. So I'm just lamenting, Chairperson, that one would have been expecting to see what measures are in place to monitor the performance of the borderline issues. This includes as well livestock, Chairperson, going from South Africa into Mozambique. Let me thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tabekulu. Responses, Department.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to quickly go back to the other issue that was also raised by Honorable Kibi in relation to the APPs. So the current information that was provided on those achievements were using quarter one information. The quarter two information has just been submitted this month, and that's being analyzed. So we can provide an update to the committee as soon as that is done. One other important aspect, I think, that was also touched on is then how do we take this alignment process forward in terms of the recovery plans? So the both provincial and national departments are due to submit their updated, revised annual performance plans at the end of this week. So DPME from November onwards will be conducting an assessment of those plans to look at what targets have been rescheduled due to budget issues and due to COVID-19, but also then to advise on the alignment to the revised MTSF. So this will then ensure that departments take forward key interventions that have been planned as part of the recovery phase in the revised MTSF, so that we still meet our goals for 2024, which is the term of the MTSF. So that's the one. There was then an issue about monitoring and tracking performance. So our sector monitoring branch, which is currently engaged with Cabinet on the first program of action report, is monitoring those issues. So the way the MTSF is structured is that essentially it provides a set of targets indicators linked to interventions. So DPME through that branch then monitors progress of departments in relation to those targets. So that process is active. There was an issue around peace and security. The one is around visible policing was the one. And the other one was in relation to their role to deal with cross-border issues. So there's two aspects that are related. So the one is that within the peace and security cluster, they have developed an integrated plan, which is called the Integrated Crime and Justice Strategy. So the interventions that have been identified in the MTSF, for example, the issues on policing, essentially emanate out of that strategy. That strategy then also has a component that deals with both gender-based violence and it deals with cross-border issues. So I think as the members would be aware, the Department of Home Affairs is now part of that cluster. And then operationalizing the Border Management Agency, which was delayed, will then take into account the issues in dealing with improvements in terms of cross-border security, which is again also a component of the Integrated Crime Justice Strategy. I just want to check if I've missed anything else. Oh, and then the last issue is around agriculture. So DPME does not directly engage with citizens in relation to service delivery issues, but we do assist and monitor departments. So the Department of Agriculture and institutions like the Land Bank would be the ones who would provide the type of instruments required to support farmers. From a DPME perspective, where we do note there are issues in terms of delivery, We then engage with departments as part of that oversight function. And then we escalate these issues within our monitoring reports, which we then present to Cabinet. There is obviously the other mechanism, which is our presidential hotline, which then escalates issues and unlocks issues such as these. Thank you, Chair. I think those are all the issues. Thanks.
Thank you very much. This meeting seems to be very short. We were planned to end at 1. It seems we have finished all the agenda items in record time.
My hand is up, Chair.
Oh. Okay.
I'm sorry, Chair, to interject you. I was just bringing to your notice that my hand is up. My apology. Should I proceed, Chair?
I've given you the
opportunity. Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Now, I was saying probably, Chair, also the department must note, notwithstanding the report, the response that we have been given, but also as this portfolio committee, we don't only oversight the departments that report directly to us, but by association and by our nature, we also oversight other departments, whether they are compliance and they respect the procedures and the systems that are put in place by government. I will suggest, Chair, that the departments, the questions that has been raised by other my colleagues, such as GPV related questions and agri related issues, that those questions could be forwarded to the other department, principal department, and they provide us, DPME, with written responses because those questions came from the presentation itself. We understand and appreciate that DPME coordinates information and coordinates other departments, but they are not responsible in terms of the implementation of various departments' responsibilities. So that it shows that we do have an appetite and interest on what is happening in other departments, and hence my suggestion. Assist us. Thank you very much.
You are breaking up, Honorable Somo.
Okay, I'll try to be a little bit faster, Chair, to say that Based on the response that the department gave us, informed by the honorable questions that the honorable members asked, such as GPV, BV-based issues, and also cross-border issues, we are aware that the Department of DPME coordinates and put together information like a secretariat. However, I will suggest that so that we get a satisfying, meaningful response, that those questions through the departments, they forward them to the respective departments so that we can receive a comprehensive detailed report. Because if it was possible, I would have said that in the next meeting, we invite them, but we don't have time because of parliament progress. But in writing, still DPME can give us those responses, which will be then from the principal departments, because we are interested, because we oversight not only our internal departments, which is DPME and DPSA, but also other departments, Chair. That is my suggestion, in so that, because I wanted to make a follow-up, but I'm tempted to make this suggestion, Chair, in light of the time, because also they're not the principal implementers of some of these questions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Somo. I see Honorable Ntuli, and then the Honorable Deputy Minister after Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted also to touch on the issue of certain security, to say the department, what mechanism are they going to put down so that they don't come after the departments, or some departments has already set up their APPs and put down their indicators, their targets. For instance, your department of there is a shortage of in you go to rural areas, you'll find only one police van working for a huge distance. When you come to the police station, you report the case, you'll be told that we'll wait for the van to come back. Now, seeing that other departments are de-resourced in terms of the tools that are supposed to be assisting the communities. So what mechanism is our DPME going to put down so that they are not the after effects? Their planning is included towards the needs of the people. For instance, with GPVs, there are kits that are needed. You will find that there is an outcry for those kits. So if they already set for themselves the race that are going to run, which is the APP, and then they simply monitor the APP, which is not including the needs of the people on the ground. So putting the mechanism as well. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, colleagues, for the interaction. When I had raised my hand, Honorable Lesuma touched on what I wanted to speak about, and I'm agreeing that what we will do is that in relation to other questions which you had asked, especially I wanted to speak about that we will also go to the Department of Women, Children, and People Living with Disability to get a report which we'll forward to you. So we'll send it, even because of time, like you're indicating that we might not have an opportunity to have a meeting to come and present. The other issue, colleagues, is that part of what we do as planning, monitoring, and evaluation is that there is an intervention part to what we do. And timeously, we continue to advise cabinet through reports which we collect. And when, so let's take, for example, we are speaking about issues of gender-based violence, or so through frontline monitoring or whatever methodology, when we get reports, we escalate them to cabinet so that cabinet can be abreast about what are the concerns of our people. We also believe that our reports also touch on ordinary lives of South Africans because they are comprehensive. And in that sense, they are able to, cabinet is able to be aware of what is happening and what are the challenges. The other issue which we do, colleagues, is that as DP, the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation, we also, from time to time, assess the impact of bills. Let's take, you have got a child protection bill, for example. As DPME, when the bill is passed and it's out rolling, from time to time, through our own internal mechanisms, we are able to, even in our APPs and even in the MTSF, which would be a 5-year planning cycle, you would find that if we give you our document, you're going to realize that from time to time, we also assess bills. After assessing bills, we take them to cabinet, we assess so that we can check the impact and whether they are able to respond to whatever need that we want. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Maskole, I see that you have some announcements to make.
Yes,
Yes, sir. Chair. Thank you so much, Chair. I wanted to highlight a few things, Chair, just before you close the meeting. I don't know whether you'd still want the department to sit, but I'm quite sure you'd understand if they can exit in the meeting, because this announcement is solemnly for members. However, I'll proceed, Chair. We have been advised through the House Chairperson to amend the program accordingly. As members, we would be aware that departments could not table their reports, their 2019-2020 annual reports. They have been given a deadline up until 16 November to table such. We have been instructed as committees to process those reports from 17 up until 19 November, Chair. Now, by doing so, we are forced as Secretariat and the committee to amend our program. I wanted to bring it to the attention of the members that from the 18th and 19th, we'll have meetings going back and forth in relation to processing those reports, Chair. So I will make the amendment and then, of course, submit through your office, Chair, then take it from there. And the second and the last one, Chair, is the subcommittee interviews next week, the date, which is Monday next week and Tuesday, respectfully. I could safely say, Chair, that the processes from our side are coming well. The candidates will be coming through. I just wanted to also just bring it to the subcommittee members that next week is those interviews, Chair, and the meeting of the fourth after the interviews, Chair. Thank you so much, Chair. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Ms. Tolan. Yeah, we are aware as members of the subcommittee of those two dates, and we are ready for those interviews. Let me thank the. Let me put on the video. Let me thank the Deputy Minister and the head department officials for the presentations they have made to this committee today. Thank you very much. We have now come to the end of the portfolio committee meeting. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Thank you, colleagues. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What are we going to do? We're going to do a sky check. My bag. You'll do it for me. So I must carry it until the door. It's in country. I'm in arrest.
Ma-